Hi everyone, I'm Elizabeth Stein, founder and CEO of Purely Elizabeth, and this is Live Purely with Elizabeth, featuring candid conversations about how to thrive on your wellness journey. This week's guest is Sarah Cullen, founder of GEM, a consumer health company reimagining daily nutrition. Sarah has spent a decade building and collaborating with startups, nonprofits, and sustainable food networks all over the world. After years of dedicated research, Sarah realized that the answer is in food, not pills or gummies made with synthetic fillers, which led her to create GEM, a nutrient-dense bite packed with 20-plus whole food vitamins, minerals, pre- and probiotics for holistic foundational health, and ultimately resulting in the first ever real food multivitamin. In this episode, we talk about Sarah's journey building the brand, inspired by her own health challenges and the lack of suitable alternatives. Sarah shares her experiences and tips fundraising, how she collaborated with a diverse scientific advisory board to formulate her products with a goal to fill nutrient gaps in people's diets, the sustainability and nutritional benefits of algae, one of her key ingredients, how she's building her brand through community, and lastly, how small steps in the morning can positively influence the rest of your day. Keep listening to learn more. And if you want to try her real food nutrition, use code LIVEPURELY30 for 30% off your first month at dailygem.co. Enjoy. I have some super exciting news, Purely fans. I am so thrilled to announce that our newest product line of cookie granola is finally here. We've created a one-of-a-kind recipe where a delicious cookie meets our wholesome granola. It's made with organic gluten-free oats and coconut flour, 100% whole grains, baked with coconut oil and almond butter, and only 6 grams of sugar. These snackable granola clusters have all of the flavor and crispness of your favorite cookie recipe, but in an indulgence you can feel good about. It comes in 3 flavors to obsess over: chocolate chip, double chocolate, and my personal favorite, oatmeal raisin. Find our cookie granolas at Walmart, Whole Foods, Publix, and on our website at purelyelizabeth.com. To find a store near you, use the link below in the show notes. I hope you're as obsessed with this new product as I am. Enjoy! Sarah, welcome to the podcast. It's such a pleasure to meet you. I absolutely love what you're doing and can't wait to hear your story.
Thank you. And likewise.
So, would love to start with your background. What were you doing before you started GEM?
I actually started another company before I started GEM, and it was a CBD beverage. It's back in 2016, so I was a pioneer at that time.
Yes.
But always interested in this plant-based food and beverage space. And so I had founded that sort of with a group of other angel investors. And prior to that, I was in an entrepreneurial fellowship called Venture for America. So I've really, the last 10 or so years of my life, have been in the world of startups and building things, and have long been passionate about this healthy food and beverage space.
What was the Venture for America program?
So are you familiar with Andrew Yang?
No.
He ran for president at one point.
Okay.
So some people know him from that point in his career. But when I graduated college, he had started a new program, and it was modeled after Teach for America, which people are quite familiar with. But instead of sending recent grads to schools, you're sent to startups. And typically in cities that don't necessarily attract all the talent. So Cincinnati, New Orleans, which is where I was based, Las Vegas, Detroit, and you go work for like a real startup is what I say, because I think people have lots of ideas of what startups are. And these are very much on the ground, like 2 or 3 people. And so it's incredible because you get this sort of fellowship, this mentorship. You are surrounded by other people who are super smart and also interested in building things, but you get this great startup experience as well. I wouldn't say it's in a de-risked way, but it's quite de-risked in a lot of ways because you have this fellowship supporting you and helping find a job for 2 years. And as you know, in the startup world, they can go under in under 2 years. So
absolutely.
It's really nice to have that experience so early on in my career.
Yeah, it must have been amazing. So what were some of the biggest lessons, I guess, that you learned in that A, kept you wanting to be in the startup world? Because you certainly could have experienced that and said, like, I'm running the other way. I want something super stable. Or, you know, B, what really helped to propel you to continue down that journey and go into the direction of food?
Well, so I grew up with a father who's an entrepreneur. He's an entrepreneur in the food and agriculture space. So I think I had this bug from like a very early age of just wanting to build things, of moving fast. And it was exciting. I was never bored in my first 2 years after college. You know, I have a lot of friends who worked, you know, management consulting and investment banking in these jobs that were a grind and didn't necessarily have the same like velocity. And so I was grinding as well, but in a very different way. And I felt like I was really being able to make an impact. And that feeling of being able to make an impact so young, right, at such a small company is very invigorating. It's very addicting. And so I love that. And I wanted to keep making an impact. And you know, it's so curious, actually, how I would thrive in a big company. I've never really worked in one. And I'm like, I wonder how I would do. You know, I did internships in college at the UN and the World Bank and like these larger, you know, organizations. And I found myself just suffocated by them because they were so slow. Yeah. And it had such an amazing mission. And I've always been attracted to these types of missions. But it's really the impact that keeps me coming back to this daily grind of startups and building things, I guess.
Yeah, it is such a different experience. I think about that often, of how I could survive in that world. And it is a totally different world.
Completely.
So tell us a little bit about, you were starting this CBD line, and then what happened after that that eventually led to the inspiration for Gem?
Yeah. So I was like 25, 26, I think, when I was starting that first beverage company. And, you know, that's a whole podcast in itself. I learned a lot. I was super naive.
What was your biggest learning from that?
How to negotiate for myself. You know, I was working with four other guys who, you know, they owned 80%. I owned 20%. They were going to do all the fundraising. I was going to do all the sweat equity. And then I ended up doing it all. And then I just naively thought, oh, well, you know, then I'll just get the company after that and we can just move forward. Yeah, that's not how life works.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So it's a good lesson.
Learned very quickly the importance of setting up good operating agreements, right? Negotiating for yourself. And then, of course, all the tactical things with building a company, right? How to create unit economics to scale. I learned about the retail world, what it's like to sell in and sell through. And, you know, all of those things around just building a food and beverage company. So super valuable lessons there. And around the time that I left that first venture, I was having my own kind of health experiences. It was in my late 20s. I was very stressed out living in New York. And I actually had a series of what I think now are like allergic reactions. I didn't know what they were. They were like random swellings and things, which led me down this path of like figuring out. I had a bunch of allergy tests. I did a bunch of nutrient deficient tests. And I found out, oh, I am nutrient deficient, you know, in these certain things. I am allergic or food sensitive to corn, soy, wheat, and peanuts. So I started going through a lot of like diet eliminations. And that's really what led me to the supplement aisle for the first time, because I always believed, ironically, in getting your vitamins and minerals from whole food.
Sure.
I didn't believe in the vitamin necessarily, but here I was, you know, on this health journey. And I was like, wow, I actually thought I ate well. I don't have all, you know, I need to fill the gaps in my diet. And that's when I looked on the shelf and I was like, a lot of these things are pills and capsules and these processed, you know, supplements, these gummy bears, this candy, you know, a lot of them had soy, corn, wheat, and peanuts that I was trying to weed out. A lot of them had a lot of other dirty ingredients and processed things. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. And so I started creating my own concoctions in the kitchen. They were super green, got really into spirulina and algae and other sustainable plants. And I felt a lot better doing this. And eventually it morphed into this funny looking bite that's now Gem. And in the very early days, it was a very green bite. We've come a long way. You know, bless all the customers who have been with us since day zero. We've really evolved. But I didn't even think of it as an alternative to your multivitamin. I just thought, hey, this is something that makes me feel great every day. It's kind of my daily nutritional insurance. And I started a small community on Facebook groups, ended up sampling out the product and quickly realizing this value proposition. And oh, it really is the alternative to your daily multi. And then it kind of blossomed into a company from there. I ended up raising venture capital pretty early on through that beta community group that I started. And then I was just off to the races.
Amazing. So what was that like for you raising money at that stage?
Very challenging. In hindsight, and I often talk about this, I wish I didn't spend so much time on fundraising. Of course, it's way easier said than done.
Sure.
I actually wanted to do a crowdfunding campaign when I first started this company, Gem. But what happened was that I had a network of investors, particularly from the previous beverage company, and I had invited them to this beta group that I had started. I invited them to this community. So I ended up getting kind of like knocked on the door of being like, hey, we're actually really interested. But I was planning on not, you know, I love the Sarah Blakely's of the world. Like, no, I didn't want to be on this venture capital hamster wheel. I wanted to really be self-funded. I wanted to build a profitable company. But I think I was in a personal financial position where I really needed the cash as well at the time. And so I ended up taking that first round of pre-seed. And then, you know, once you're on that hamster wheel, like I say, you're on that. And the first $3 million, I think, is the hardest to raise. We just closed our Series A last year. So we're now over $22 million raised. But those first $3 million took up, you know, probably a good year and a half of my life raising and focusing a lot of maybe too much time on that.
So any tips that you have to share for people who may be at the early stages of starting a company, and how do you spend less time on that, or anything that you can share with our audience?
It's such a good question. I think it's important that before you go into it, you really ask yourself if you need it. There are a lot of companies that you start that aren't necessarily a fit for venture capital. They're a fit for other forms of financing, whether that's crowdfunding or debt financing. And so I think it's a question of actually asking yourself first, you know, is this a business model that's a fit for venture capital? And then of course it's asking yourself personally, right? Like, where are you in life? Like, do you need it? Or is it possible for you to work another job and start this? And so I think it's just being thoughtful about that and having a real plan in place. You know, unfortunately, if you have to fundraise money, I wish I could say, you know, here's how to do it so efficiently and make sure that, you know, you do it under a month. But it's not always like that. Sometimes you get lucky. But I think it's really just being super intentional and thoughtful. I think it's stabilizing now, the market, but there was a period of time where a lot of entrepreneurs were just raising money for the sake of raising money.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of gone away a little bit, which is good. It's a healthy mindset that that's going away. But I think there's a period of time where it was almost like a badge of honor just to raise money. And I think that that's just the wrong mindset, of course. And you definitely should not go into it just for the sake of raising money.
Well, the market has changed so much too, where it's so hard even to raise money if you need it. It's that difficult. So it's probably course correcting through some of the nature of that. And I think the real important thing is certainly having a product, a brand that is so differentiated that you're going to get those investors interested in the first place. And you've done such a phenomenal job bringing something truly unique to the market that didn't exist. So let's get a little bit into the product. And as you said, it started off as this green thing. Then for those who are not familiar, tell us what it looks like today and what that formulating process looked like and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Well, right now it looks like a bright orange bite, actually. It's no longer green.
I'm guessing people told you that green was a little bit of a turnoff.
Exactly. So it's this beautiful, tangy, sweet bite made with 20 different whole foods, superfoods, vitamins, minerals, and herbs. And it's just this chewy, kind of almost like a little bar bite. And it's real food, right? So it's with this ethos of food is medicine. It's better absorbed in your body. And that was really the idea behind this form factor. We're reinventing the idea of a multivitamin. Of course, what it looks like instead of a pill capsule or gummy bear, it's a real food bite, but also what's inside of it. It's not just like 100% of everything, of all of your vitamins and minerals, because you do eat food. You really just need to fill the gaps in your diet. So we really, how we approached formulation was looking at, okay, what are the key nutrient deficiencies in our diet today? And then what are our lifestyle demands that we need to make sure that we meet? So for instance, we're all very stressed out. When you're stressed out, you run through B vitamins. And so you might need some extra B vitamins. We all work indoors, most of us. And so we might need some extra vitamin D. So that's how we approached it in terms of formulation. And I started forming a scientific advisory board early on and have continued to expand it. And one of my methodologies for doing that was to really have a different perspective. So I didn't just want one Western, you know, medical lens. We have an herbalist, we have a functional medicine doctor, we have a neurologist, we have a biologist, we have a registered dietitian on our board. And so we really worked with a holistic amount of disciplines and perspectives in order to build a product that really speaks to all of you and not just parts of you. And that was really important in the formulation of this bite.
How was it finding this advisory board, and how did you go about picking these key influential people?
So I started with a food scientist, an herbalist, and a functional medicine doctor. And really through my network, I had worked with some food scientists in the past at my previous venture. So I started there. Our functional medicine doctor, our first kind of founding scientific advisory board member, if you will, was one of the founding doctors actually at Parsley Health.
Oh, Parsley.
Yeah, me too. So, you know, I looked to other fellow startups. I mean, they're way bigger than us. I don't know if I call them a startup. And also to my network to begin finding them. And then I ultimately ended up hiring a registered dietitian actually as to help me continue to recruit and build out the board. And that was really successful as well. And so we're still adding into it today as we continue to release new products, depending on what that product is. We go out and find a discipline that might make sense for that product and bring them on board.
Well, it's amazing that you're able to put all of those key vitamins, minerals, nutrients, herbs in there and make it still taste great. How hard was that process?
Really hard. And that's why I joke about it being this super green bite in the early days. You know, I'm obsessed with algae. We still have algae in every single bite. And it's really challenging to put all of these nutrient dense superfoods into one bite without any added fillers, sugars, processing agents. My life would have been a lot easier if I had just started a gummy bear company.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it took a few years. And I also, because I wanted to launch the company, I wanted to be on the path to profitability. We launched super leanly and we launched super quickly. And it was really important to me that I evolved with the customer. And I wanted the customer to be at the heart and center of our product development. I didn't want to go do product development for 2 years by myself in the corner and not really be working with the customer on that. And so, you know, that's how we continue to evolve it. And we've had this very test and learn and iterative mindset from the get-go. But it's taken, you know, I brought in a pastry chef, for instance, and really worked on taste profile. You know, I actually brought in two pastry chefs. So, you know, I started to also add to my board, not only the scientific minds, but the taste minds as well. And how can we create not only the healthiest bite, but the most delicious bite without all those added sugars?
Well, I think that's a really important thing that you decided early on to not just, as you said, sit in a room and formulate and really bring in your consumers. Because I think it's such a great lesson, even just in life, of like everything doesn't have to be perfect. And if you sit around waiting for it to be perfect, A, you may never even launch in the first place. But B, in this case, like really listening to your consumer to get that information can really help just that improvement and that connection that you have with your community. So how do you continue to build the brand and the community today?
Great question. In a lot of different ways. So we still have the original Facebook group that I started that continues Amazing. To grow, and you can still go and join it today. I don't even lead that now. It's completely customer led. People share their stories, ask their own tips, share advice on all things health. So there's definitely that digital platform. Of course, on our organic socials, we have that as well. And then our team started something really special in the last year called Gem Breakfast Club, where we work with different chefs in different cities, all rooted in this food is medicine ethos. and we create this delicious spread of food that typically speaks to our product as well. So they're ingredients that synergistically work together. They are ingredients that are reflective and inspired by our Gem Bite. For instance, there is a lot of like turmeric based, you know, egg dishes and fun things like that. And then we invite a lot of the community to that. And we just have a great conversation and we celebrate a sustainable future together with this, you know, delicious spread of food. So I love the in real life events, some of the digital activations. And we're definitely, you know, still very much a startup. So we're working from a micro lens. We're doing these all, like, I would love to create bigger and bigger events and bigger communities to scale. But I think right now we're focused on just creating genuine moments of connection with people in different channels and kind of building those microcosm communities.
I love that. I'm so excited to announce that we have launched two new superfood cereal flavors, chocolate almond and cinnamon raisin almond. Our cereal is intentionally crafted with whole food ingredients you can see and taste, like sorghum, oats, chia, and quinoa. Each spoonful of our superfood cereal combines crunchy ancient grain flakes with delicious granola clusters for irresistible taste and texture. Plus, they are an excellent source of vitamin D, a good source of fiber, and have over 30 grams of whole grains per serving. You can find these new flavors, along with our existing flavors, honey peanut butter and vanilla blueberry almond, at your local Whole Foods, and as always, on purelyelizabeth.com. What are some of your favorite stories that you hear from the community as far as how the Gem Bites have impacted their lives? Because it's certainly something that I'm sure people write in amazing comments and share stories of changing with food as medicine.
It's beautiful. We have a lot of older customers, particularly who grew up on like Flintstone vitamins.
And I forgot about Flintstone vitamins, as you just said.
And they've tried every powder mix, every supplement. They're swallowing handfuls of pills. And they're just exhausted by these routines. And they found Gem and it makes them feel amazing. And it's a delightful routine too, to add to their morning. And so I think that those, honestly, more mundane stories are my favorite. Just like, hey, I've been exhausted all my life. Like, thank you so much for building this product that just makes it easy. And I get all the nutrients and I enjoy it. And I don't have to swallow these handfuls of pills and gag on them. And so I love those. But I'm sure you know this, owning a food company, but people, they really attribute sometimes, I don't even want to say it on this podcast because they're like medical. They're like, wow, I had X, Y, Z, you know, ailment, and Gem solved it. And I'm like, I don't know if we can share that. Like, I appreciate that, but not sure if that's, you know. Yeah. Gem certainly isn't the panacea for everything, but I, of course, am touched by those stories as well. I think when people take care of themselves and feel good, right, it really has, you know, echoing effects on their life. And so it's really cool to see that and be a part of that.
Yeah, that is really cool. And it's also, I love how you say that it becomes like this little part of their morning habit or ritual, which it's all about having those little steps in the morning that then lead to how you live the rest of your day. And so it's that ripple effect that you're helping your community with.
Exactly.
So in addition to the Gem Bites, you also have some bonus bites, which I love how you have the different functions. How did that come about? I'm imagining it came from community, but if you could talk a little bit about what those look like.
It definitely came from the community. We are always asking, you know, what else would you like from us? We're very focused on our Gem Citrus Ginger Bite, the reinvented multi, our hero kind of product. That's like really our foundational product that we're focused on. And we're not a company where I want you to take 20 bites in a day, right? Like swallowing 20 pills in a day. Mm-hmm. That kind of defeats the whole purpose of it being easy. But there are a few fun areas where people might want to switch it up, where I always say you might want up to 3 bites in a day. I, of course, take more, but I'm biased. and we tried to fill the gaps in some areas where it really depends on your situation. So for instance, our sleep bite is an incredible bite. Some people have great sleep and they don't necessarily need it every night. But if you're a melatonin user, you might know that melatonin can cause these like kind of groggy hangovers. Your body actually naturally produces melatonin. So when you take it, you know, artificially what happens is that your body actually gets addicted to it and stops producing its own. So we created a natural alternative to that. We use valerian root, L-theanine, GABA, these sort of natural holistic, you know, herbs and roots. And we put that into this beautiful chocolate cherry bite. And so it's kind of like a delicious treat at the end of the day to wind down. And you can kind of take that as you need. Another bite that we have is a calm bite, which has lemon balm in it, which is incredible for stress, but also magnesium. And magnesium is this one nutrient where really it's the one that I recommend megadosing on the most.
Yeah.
And so we don't have enough of it in our the foundational bite. And so we recommend if you want extra magnesium to definitely take our calm bite. Magnesium is kind of the oil for your machine, so to speak. It's amazing for all kinds of things, for stress, constipation as well, for headaches.
Sleep.
Yes, for sleep. We also have magnesium in our sleep bite as well. So those two bites are awesome for different reasons and different needs. And then our latest bite that we just launched is an energy aid bite. And this has some natural caffeine from green tea extract, as well as some L-theanine. So all of the kind of energy without the jitters, one bite is equivalent to a half a cup of coffee. Oh. And there's also kelp, which is incredible for metabolism, and then ginseng, which is an incredible adaptogen for kind of blood sugar stabilization and stress. And so this is a really fun kind of holistic energy aid bite that is, for me, I love to take it. Actually, I've been weaning off of coffee recently, not caffeine, but coffee. And so I actually pop this bite in the morning and then I work out and it kind of gives me that pep in the step. And yeah, it's kind of a nice, fun morning treat.
So as you just talked about kelp, I'd love to get back into the gem bites and talk about algae. So for those who hear about algae, but maybe don't know so much of the benefits of algae, I feel like algae is like the best superfood on the planet. Would love for you to share all of its amazing benefits and why we should be incorporating it into our diet.
Well, I love to harken back to like 3 billion years ago. You know, spirulina was really the first living organism on Earth. So algae really was our living organism. It's what our ancestors ate. And it truly is the most sustainable source of nutrition. So spirulina is one type of algae. There's all kinds of macro and micro algae. Kelp is a macro algae. But if we look at spirulina in particular as a micro algae, for instance, it has all of the vitamins and minerals that most of these micro algae and macro algae have, the rainbow of vitamins and minerals, so to speak. So they have all the vitamins and minerals that you kind of need, and even some of the macro ingredients, proteins and things like that, all in a very sustainable source of protein. And there's incredible data around this where, you know, it's, I think it's like a sixth of the water use of traditional land crops like soy, corn, and wheat. It can grow way more abundantly than those crops in much smaller spaces. It emits oxygen because they're like forest, you know, of the ocean. So it's a really cool kind of plant ecosystem, so to speak. And there is just a lot of really cool applications for our health. And we're just tapping into it right now, but you're starting to see it crop up in different superfoods and things. And for us, we would love to continue to invest in the innovation around how can we derive more vitamins and minerals from algae and from more sustainable sources. So we have this wonderful prebiotic fiber in our gen bite called beta-glucan that's from algae. Our vitamin D is actually from an algae type as well. And we have golden chlorella, which is has incredible health benefits. I can go on and on about every algae. And that is also in our calm bite. So we try to incorporate this plant into different bites, but I think there's a lot of really cool things happening in the food innovation ecosystem around this. And I'm excited to continue to invest and be a part of it.
Yeah, I love that you're using it. And for us, I definitely am always looking for ways that we can use algae in it. We actually use a D3 in our cereal that comes from algae as well. And it's a tough place because in cereal, if you talk about algae, I think people get a little bit grossed out. So we try not to talk about it too much. But at the same time, like, people should know that that's where it's coming from. So I think it works a little bit better for you in a supplement bite than in the cereal.
That's what's so challenging, right, about being a food product and disrupting the supplement aisles. Yeah. we have the same kind of challenges that you do with taste and perception. And that's one of the reasons why algae really is the heart of my story behind GEM and why I wanted to start GEM and use more sustainable ingredients. And it was my inspiration in many ways for starting this company. And it's a delight to talk with you about it because often I don't get asked questions around it. And I don't often talk about it enough because it is quite a scary thing. And it ends up making people feel like, oh, but am I going to like the taste?
Right. We need to change the narrative.
Right. Algae doesn't have to be scary. It's really cool.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
It is
beautiful. Blue spirulina is a beautiful algae.
Yeah. And there's like really awesome things happening with a different algae like spirulina, blue spirulina, green spirulina, golden chlorella, and food dyes. Astaxanthin is another really beautiful microalgae that we use as well. It's super potent. It's the strongest antioxidant out there. And it's this gorgeous red color. So people are using this not only for health benefits, but also to dye their foods naturally and provide health benefits. A lot of really cool applications.
Yeah. So as you're talking about this algae, I know one of the cool things that you do as a company and brand is your Give a GEM program, which is working with some algae farms, I believe. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, we have an amazing program that my team set up, and 1% goes to 4 different nonprofits that we have set up. And you can opt in or out of this. So it's completely your choice. We give you this choice after you purchase. We say, do you want to donate 1% to any of these nonprofits? And we give you some information about it. But one of them is working on kelp reforestation, which is super cool. So it's going to kelp farmers and helping contribute to really cleaning our oceans, you know, replanting kelp. And so kelp is, you can think of it as like the forest of the ocean, essentially. And so the more kelp that you have in the ocean, not only the more food that we have, but also the cleaner the oceans. And it goes towards the productivity of those farmers as well, and ensuring that we have farmers out there. And so their livelihoods are included in this. And so it really works across the food system, you know, the environment, our ecosystem as well, and cleaning up and helping with our climate impact. And then, of course, the livelihoods of these farmers. And it's mostly in the northeast of America is where a lot of these kelp farmers live. But it's really, really cool. We have a lot of information about it on our site and some other nonprofits as well that we're working with.
So cool. So as you've been building the business, what have been some of the most challenging aspects for you?
So many.
It's never ending.
I think that a really challenging aspect certainly was the development of the product to our best tasting hero product and the evolution of that.
How long did that take to go from when you first started to the final product?
2.5 years. So we were really building the company. And yeah. You know, COVID hit during those 2.5 years too.
Perfect
so
timing.
A lot of challenges along the way. You know, in addition to the product iteration, we were also iterating on the brand. I was a big believer in not investing too much in the brand until I really understood product market fit, until I had product market fit, and until I really understood the customer. And so we didn't really start investing in the brand until a year after launch and started to use the community to build the brand, to build the emotional resonance part of the brand. And so in some ways, I'd like to say that we're like brandless in the beginning. I didn't want it to be about the brand. I wanted it to be about the product and about you and about the customer. And so building all of that, iterating as you're running the company as well, yeah, is really, there's a reason why a lot of people remain in kind of, you know, quote unquote, pre-launch in stealth mode for a couple of years. And I can see the benefit of that. So it was really challenging. There's a lot of advantages. I feel like I was able to move a lot faster. I was able, again, to have that customer at the heart of what I was building and iterating and have that feedback loop set up. But it was certainly made it a lot harder.
Is there anything that you wish that you knew at the beginning?
I...
Or maybe that you did differently?
You know, I mentioned earlier about not wanting to spend so much time on fundraising, but I think that's an easy thing to say in hindsight. I don't know if I could actually go back and do that, right?
Right.
If you need the money, you kind of need the money. It's a chicken and the egg situation. I knew a lot about the product and how to build a product to scale, the formulation part of it. I was very competent in those areas. I would say resourcing, hiring, building out a team, org chart development. Because I never worked at a larger company, because I never had that experience, that was really challenging. And I wish I invested more time in really understanding that and building more of advisors and mentors around that. And I still get entrepreneurs that come to me today, and I wish they asked me different questions. Often the first thing and the only thing they ever ask me is about fundraising, right? How can I raise my first dollar? How do I do that? What's the approach? And it's always about investors, the next round. And it's great. I understand. But, you know, I was the same way. To my mentors and advisors, I focused so much on that. And I wish I had asked other questions that eventually have learned and continued and am learning, but I wish I invested more time in asking those questions earlier on.
So what do you wish that more entrepreneurs asked you at the beginning stage instead of about investing?
I think about these hiring, resourcing, recruiting, building an org chart to scale, setting up growth and brand teams, how you think about product market fit, messaging, positioning, alignment, setting up good operations, how you know, there's a lot on the, you definitely know with the food side of things.
All the day-to-day.
How you think about co-manufacturing, that whole setup. I actually more tactical questions, you know, across the business in that way.
Yeah. So of all of those, what really keeps you up at night the most? Because it's all about those day-to-day tactical pieces, right?
Truthfully, right now, it's the operations. We are the first ever of our kind pioneering the world of this first ever real food vitamin. So it's incredibly challenging the type of bite that we make, how many nutrients that we fit into it. The quality around that takes a lot of TLC. A lot of other capsules and pills and the supplement companies out there are actually white labeled. They don't actually create the product themselves. And so we are like a food company like you, you know, we actually create our own product. We manage our entire supply chain ourselves. We have our own relationships with our suppliers. So we have a pretty complicated operations backend for such a simple one bite product, so to speak. I know we have other bites too. And that definitely keeps me up at night because being a pioneer has its advantages and disadvantages. And one of them is that we're always doing something new. There's a lot that I don't know. And I'm learning every day.
So as you have been through this journey now, I'd love to talk a little bit about your own personal kind of day-to-day in the business and just not juggling, but how you structure your day and show up as the best version of yourself. Because it certainly is not easy by any means. Every day is literally one day is a roller coaster. One amazing thing can happen and then one horrible thing happens in the same day. So how do you kind of deal with all of that and show up as the best version?
Well, I think for any entrepreneur, you have to have a healthy dose of optimism.
Absolutely.
I like to say delusional optimism. I don't think I would survive without an optimistic attitude. You know, I do think there has to be something at your heart and soul, or just like your intention every day when you wake up of like, I want to have a good attitude, you know, and looking at things half glass full, looking at things with an optimistic attitude. I think that's really important. That's just a mindset shift. I think it comes maybe a bit more naturally to me because I happen to be a more optimistic person for better or for worse. But I do think that's incredibly important because, as you said, there are incredible highs and incredible lows. And that can happen within the span of 3 hours in a day. So being able to be steady, to have that mindset as your anchor is important. And then I always harken back to the basics of wellness, like food, water, you know, healthy food, of course, your gem bite, water, sleep, getting some movement, even if it's just a walk, you know, throughout your day and getting up and doing some jumping jacks or something to keep you sane. I actually do that.
What's your morning routine like?
It's changing a little bit lately. I'm actually pregnant right now.
Congratulations.
So thank you. So I used to be a bit more active in the morning. I would say now I'm really into the long walks in the morning at the moment.
Which is great.
And I eat breakfast like first thing. It used to be a little bit later. Now I love breakfast right away. I'm actually your cereal is like my biggest craving. And I'm not just saying that to you. That's an honest thing that's happening to me. So I love your cereal in the morning.
Thank you.
I found this incredible yogurt that it can go with. And so
what's your favorite yogurt to pair it with?
It's this Greek yogurt that I found at a farmer's market here in Los Angeles. It's called Eris Natural Yogurt. And they have a different kefir cheeses, I think, as well. And it's like a lot of different probiotic type yogurts, but it's delicious. I mean, if you can find this or you can order it online, I know they're at like Erewhon and some of these types of grocery stores, but I'm not sure their distribution at the moment, but I am just completely obsessed with this yogurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love to have breakfast with my Gem Bite. And then I really try to get at least an hour walk in with the sunshine. And I live in Venice, California, so I am lucky that it's sunny quite a bit. But I try to really get that hour of sunshine outside. I think that's so good for you. Let the sun hit your face to really get out and move your body for an hour. And I do try to drink actually at least 30 ounces of water every morning when I wake up too. So I'm a huge believer in water. I think our world is chronically dehydrated.
Yeah.
And sure. We might be a little bit happier. We might be happier if we were just a little more hydrated.
All right, we're going to move into some rapid fire Q&A. Three things that you're currently loving, in addition to that yogurt. It could be product, podcast, book, anything.
Well, yeah, so definitely your cereal and this yogurt is one. You know, now that I'm pregnant, I've been kind of exploring the non-alcoholic space and it's really exciting. I found, you know, Ritual is one non-alcoholic spirit that I actually made a really good mocktail. So I was really proud of myself.
What kind of spirit is that?
They have different spirits, actually. They have like a non-alcoholic tequila, like whiskey, like different ones. You can kind of put some bitters in there and some, you know, lemon or rosemary or something and make an interesting cocktail. But I thought there's so many brands now that are incredible. So I always love discovering and trying out and experimenting new things in the kitchen. So that's kind of my latest on the mocktail front. And I think my third thing is not necessarily new. I've been doing it religiously actually for almost 4 years now, which is Taryn Toomey's The Class. I started it during COVID. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but
I started during COVID too, actually.
Yeah, I'm kind of basic. It's like a modern aerobics class, really. But they actually have a studio near me and it's my workout. It's also my meditation. I love to just dance and kind of ecstatically move my body. And so this class very much resonates with me. It's a little obnoxious that it's called The Class. So it's confusing as I'm saying it, but I am obsessed with it and I've done it religiously and I'm still doing it even now pregnant. So
love that. Favorite words to live by?
Oh, so many. You know, I think that there's one that I'm actually not even sure who has said this. I'm sure a lot of people have said this that are wise, but embrace what you don't know, because like what you don't know can become your greatest asset. And as an entrepreneur not knowing a lot, I definitely live by that.
Yeah, that's perfect. Favorite productivity hack?
It's the simple things again. So for me, unfortunately, for better or for worse, sitting here at my computer doing, you know, 10 at least Zoom calls all day. And so if I can take at least one or two of those while walking, it will make my rest of my day so much more productive. When if I'm walking and talking, I actually think better. I come back to my desk refreshed for the next meeting. So if you can integrate just little moments of movement in between meetings, or if you can take a few meetings at least walking, it's actually like a great productivity hack
Yeah.
that doesn't take any time if you do it right.
Totally. A favorite book or podcast for growth?
Ooh, I have a lot of favorite books. Well, one of my favorite books that inspired Jem is called Whole by Dr. T. Colin Campbell. And I highly recommend it.
And what's it about?
He talks a lot about the science behind food as medicine. And he advocates for a plant-based diet. But mostly what is beautiful about the book is that he talks about the very things that make up the ethos of Jem, of why, you know, eating an apple versus taking a handful of pills, even though it might not have the equivalent of that vitamin, will do so much more for you because of the antioxidants and the phytonutrients and the biochemical processes. And so he goes into that. He shares his research around it. He had a very famous book before that, I think in the 90s or 80s, called The China Study. I also have it.
I read The China Study.
Yeah. So that was the book that sort of preceded this one. So it's a growth book for me and my company. It's not the quintessential, you know, business growth book necessarily, but I personally love it. And I actually gift it to all of our team members.
Oh, I love that. Favorite business moment?
Oh, there's been so many. And some of them are not necessarily, I think my favorite moments are recently we just released a new evolution of our packaging. We finally have the picture of our bite on our packaging. And it's very special because it's taken, as we've talked about in this podcast, it's taken me quite a long time to get to this best tasting, you know, highest quality product. And also on the packaging side, just getting to a place that really speaks to our product, speaks to our ethos, I think is representative of the brand and our community is something I'm really proud of and was a beautiful moment that happened very recently in the last couple of months.
Well, the new packaging looks gorgeous. I love it. I love the simplicity, how clean it is. Lastly, what is your number one non-negotiable to thrive on your wellness journey?
I think I have to say water. After all of that, after my water speech earlier.
Yeah. So how much do you have in a day?
Over 100 ounces.
Wow.
I know.
That's impressive. I know we're supposed to have at least half of our body weight in ounces. So you're going well above that.
It might be because I'm pregnant that I'm doing a bit more than usual. I'm not sure, but yeah, definitely right now. That's where.
Any tips to consume more water? Do you do just straight water? Do you put lemon or anything in your waters?
Lemon is awesome, right? Whenever you can activate your water, lemon or any kind of citrus, I think that's great. Depending on your active level and sort of where you are, some of these electrolyte packets like Elemental are awesome, or Cure is another one. So occasionally those and you know, they flavor the water as well if you're looking for that. I have a Berkey filter, so I use filtered water. And sometimes, yeah, I activate it often just with lemon, keep it pretty simple. And I just have a huge jar, which you know, our listeners can't see, but you can see.
Yeah.
I just keep with me and a straw. A straw is really the hack so that you can.
I think the straw create. Is the hack.
Straw really helps. You the jar with the straw, or you know, there's all kinds of water bottles out there, the huge ones with the straws. So no shortage.
Stanley.
Of
yeah. I fell for it, but it really does help. I think that it's all about the straw for sure.
Totally.
So in closing, what is next for you? Other than that you're pregnant.
As I shared, yeah, I have a personal journey ahead of me. Taking care of this baby and also taking care of my new baby.
That's going to be a whole other podcast.
Exactly. So I have two other babies and that's really what's ahead of me. And I'm excited to continue to grow Jem.
Amazing. Where can everybody find you and Jem?
So you can find Jem at dailygem.com. DAILYGEM.com. And our Instagram is at daily_Jem.
Sarah, thank you so much for being here. It was so great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks so much for joining me on Live Purely with Elizabeth. I hope you feel inspired to thrive on your wellness journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review. You can follow us on Instagram at purely_Elizabeth to catch up on all the latest. See you next Wednesday on the podcast.